The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench with you. So the second round of the NBA draft is underway now. They're just starting at the Hornets draft at Vernon Carey out of Duke. And so there you go. And now Minnesota's in. They've been raking tonight. Obviously getting Edwards with the number one pick. We'll follow the second round as it goes. It's a lot faster than the first round. I could be wrong. I think it's 5 minutes they get to pick in the first round. And then in the second round, I think it's like a couple minutes. So they move a lot quicker in this round, and we'll keep our eyes on it. I think the big story to focus on here tonight about the draft is not about who's getting picked and who's getting traded. The real story in the NBA tonight is Klay Thompson's injury to his right leg today. This is just drastic news coming out of the Bay Area. Now, they're going to have an MRI. They're going to find out what happened to the right leg. He'll have it tomorrow morning, first thing. And he was playing with several NBA players in LA and felt pain in his calf when he landed on his leg, and the Warriors are worried, allegedly, according to reports, that it is an Achilles tendon injury, but are hoping it's not serious and are determined to not overreact and to wait on the results of the MRI. They're flying to Los Angeles to be there for Thompson when he gets the MRI. Of course, he missed all of last season after tearing the ACL in his left knee during Game 6 of the NBA Finals against the Raptors. The Warriors were very optimistic. He'd spent a year rehabbing the injury, that he was going to be back full strength for this season. The Warriors coach, Kerr, said that the Warriors didn't clear Thompson to scrimmage during the team bubble in San Fran, but he's been playing. I told you on Coast to Coast, I've seen the guy playing before, and he looks lights out. But now he's injured again. It's unbelievable.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, second round. The first pick went to Minnesota, Tyrell Terry, the point guard out of Stanford, 6'2", 160. Number two was Vernon Carey, the big from Duke, going to Charlotte. And then number three, Daniel Turu, went from the big center from Minnesota, 6'10", 250. The guy can actually pop from three. The guy can bang from the corners. He's a big and a shooter at the same time. So this guy, when he played last year, 20 points a game, 11 boards, 2.7 blocks, all defensive selection in the Big Ten, and can finish. They say he can't pass, but what do I care about that when he's 6'10"? Let's see what happens. He's going to go to the Knicks. So, you know, Minnesota drafted him, but he's going to the Knicks. That's the 33rd pick that the Knicks got in their trade in the first round. So there you go. And I guess the Sixers just made a deal. They got this guy, Maladin. I think he's a French player. Like Tony Parker was his hero. I think Theo Maladin, he's a French player, 6'5", 175 out of France. Big point guard at 6'5", long wingspan, and 36% threes, 80% free throw shooter, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so now you're telling me the Clippers trade for that number 33 pick. I just saw it. So the Clippers take Minnesota center Daniel Turu after making trades with the Knicks for the, a 2023 second round pick. So the Knicks dealt that big man to the Clippers, Carver High, for a 2023 second round pick. So we're 3 years away from that happening. So in the south of France, they call that, I don't give a rat's ass. Don't tell me about something that's going to happen 3 years from now. Thank you very much.
Make to it me, more that's confusing. Like, honestly, yeah, let's make it more confusing.
So the bottom line is they got that 28th and 33rd. They dealt the 33rd. For 3 years from now, and so they got the pick at 28. Who was the pick? Do you remember? Like, it's so confusing to me.
No.
It's just so confusing. So I want to go back to the first round. I want to go back to that 28th pick. They got where was that pick? Oh, it's the 25th pick. It's that kid out of Kentucky, Emmanuel Quickly. That's the guard out of Kentucky that they got, right? And then the 33rd pick is the kid they just traded to the Clippers. Boom. So, you know, I actually like that pick, Turu, but the bottom line is they have Mitchell Robinson. That's why they don't need another center, right? At least that's the way they think. He's going to get all the burn. Anyway, going back to this Klay Thompson thing, I have to tell you, this is a huge story that's developing. First of all, they got to wait till tomorrow. I think that rumors, and they could, you know, be very well accurate, these stories coming out of Los Angeles tonight. Basically, that Shelbourne chick is the one reporting it, right? So she's reporting that he landed on his right leg, felt something in his calf, shut it down. And then over the next hour or two, it became apparent that they felt that there was talk, rumor, alleged that it's an Achilles. Well, this is all I have to say. Now, I don't know anything about what happened to him, so I can't sit here and speculate on if it's an Achilles. But I'll tell you this much. I have torn my calf playing basketball. And I mean to tell you, you can't even walk. That's how bad that is. So when you tear your calf, you're done for a month. Okay? You're not running for a month. And I'm talking, you're not playing basketball. You cannot run. You cannot dribble drive. You can't jump start. You can't jump. You can't do anything. You can't run transition. You cannot run a fast break. You can't do anything. You just can't run. So you're done. So they better hope that it's a calf tear, right? You better hope it's a calf tear because that's a month. No big deal. He'll be back for the start of the regular season. If it's an Achilles, which they'll find out with the MRI tomorrow, they'll know tomorrow if it's an Achilles. Now, they're going to want to hide that from the media, right? Because the media is going to run with that. And the minute they find out that that guy has an Achilles tear, his season's done for a year. And then I said this to you, Carver High, if he tore his Achilles and he blew out his left knee and had a reconstructive knee surgery, torn ACL, blown out, sat out a year. Now, if that's a torn Achilles, he's going to be playing at the Y. He's finished. He'll never be the same. I don't care how good he shoots. He'll be the best shooter ever down at the rec league because I'm telling you, you blow out your left knee and then blow out your right Achilles, you're finished. He'll never be the same. You can't even argue at Carver High. You're going to tell me that guy misses two full years and then he's going to come back and just because he can shoot a three, he's going to be settled right back into the Warriors lineup because they're going to tell you, we're behind him 100%. We're with him. We love him. He's family. He's on the team. We're going to go through his PT. We're going to wait it out. We're going to bring him back and then he's going to be the same old Clay. No, he's not. Who is ever the same? I mean, literally, I mean, Kobe Bryant wasn't even the same after he tore his Achilles. You know, Cousins, he's not the same. Didn't he tear his Achilles and then come back and get injured again? Who is the same after they tear their Achilles in, frankly, in basketball, let alone in other sports, right? I just don't see it. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but the fact of the matter is, if you blow out your left ACL and your right Achilles, you're damaged goods, bro. You are absolutely finished. I mean, this is the NBA. This isn't, playing down with Pharrell in the over 50 league or playing with Pharrell down at the Lifetime in the men's league. You know what I mean? This isn't like, you know, White Chocolate down there playing in Orlando in the men's rec league championship game. This is the NBA. And let me tell you something, the speed of the NBA, the physicality of the NBA, the young bloods that come into the NBA tonight, all the new draft picks in the NBA are all, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old, 22 max, right? And, you know, what do they do to guys that are 28, 30 years old? 32 years old, they blow right by him, right? I mean, the problem I have playing basketball now for me is speed. Speed kills me every time. It's just every time. It's automatic. I mean, I am the worst defender in the world against speed. So I play these brothers that are faster. One of them, I call him, his nickname's Lightning, right? I played his cat Lightning, and he's a great player. And he's so fast, he's like a fly in your kitchen. I mean, this guy's so fast, you couldn't catch him with a fly swatter. And he just abuses me because, like, I get him off the pick, right? I get him off a screen, and then I got to guard him, and he's 100 miles an hour, and I have no chance against this guy, against his handle or his dribble drive. I have no chance of stopping him. He can do whatever he wants to me. He goes right by me like the wind. And that's what's going to happen to Klay Thompson, okay? After his blown out knee and his blown out Achilles, if that's the injury, if that's what comes back on that MRI that he blew out his Achilles, I'm telling you, bro, he's playing at the Y. You can quote me on that because I'm telling you, his stock will drop so low. He won't even be registered on the New York Stock Exchange. You know it's true, Carver High.
I do not disagree. It's going to be very tough for him to come back from back-to-back injuries after 2 years. Very, very tough.
And back-to-back injuries that cripple your legs. And the NBA is all about legs, son. If you got no legs, you got no burn, you got no gain. It's for all in a bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, now we're into this second round, and it's just, God. Robert Woodard II from Mississippi State going to Memphis. Somehow, I'm assuming that that's a deal with the Wizards. Or no. I see that's the number 10 pick. I see what's happened here. It's behind. I'm behind the times. Yeah, I got to see what's going on here. All right, so they're just not posting them is what it boils down to. They're so behind ESPN on what they're actually doing, like on their website, right? Like on their feed of the draft. I mean, I think what just happened is the 10th pick just went down, didn't it? I think it did. It was to Memphis. And I'm looking at the Memphis pick, and the pick before that was New Orleans, and they got the kid Hughes out of Syracuse. So they're just so far behind. It's embarrassing. I have to, you know, I'm done counting on them. I can't. It's unbelievable. How is that possible that they're actually running the draft and they can't keep it up to snuff? Can you explain that to me?
They have problems with this draft every year. Between how ahead they are on social media to what the actual broadcast is, the whole thing is very tough to deal with. And all the trades, and all, it's very hard.
Well, have I not just sat there and given you every single pick, and now they can't keep up to pace? How do you not have it like up to pace? Like we're exactly where they are, because I didn't see the Wizards, the Jazz. I saw the New Orleans pick, the kid Hughes out of Syracuse, and then I just saw the Woodard selection of the Grizzlies. So apparently they can't. They can't, you know, keep up the pace. They're at number 11 now. And that they're going to make the announcement of the 11th pick in the number 41 pick in the draft. And, that's the bottom line. And so somewhere in the grand scheme of things, Carver High, they refused to put up the picks. So I have no idea who, went to Washington and really, I guess the other pick that I'm having a problem getting my hands on is it's the Jazz pick. All right, so now I see the Wizards got a point guard, Krejci, out of the Czech Republic. What a thrill that is for everyone. So I'm not worried about that pick at all, right? And then now Saben Lee, a point guard from Vanderbilt, went to the Jazz at 8, which was 38. And then the kid Hughes from Syracuse, Elijah Hughes, it just went up from Cuse to the Pelicans at 39. And then Robert Woodard II from Mississippi State is the 40th pick. And now Trey Jones from Duke goes to play for Popovich in San Antonio. And I got to tell you, in the first round, that pick that the Spurs got, I saw it before. If I can just find it, it'll be very helpful. I have no idea. Vassell, the kid from Florida State, right? Devin Vassell. That's a really good pick at number 11. So then they add a shooting guard and they add a point guard, and they get Trey Jones in this round out of Duke. So they got a nice little backcourt draft tonight, the Spurs. Not bad, huh? You see, that's what it is. The second round, the picks are 2 minutes apart. So believe me, you, they're going to get this done by 12 like they always do. This thing will be over before you know it, because it's just rolling now every 2 minutes. The Pelicans are on the board, and we'll see what happens. So, you go back to the Klay Thompson story, and this is going to be gigantic. What the MRI confirms tomorrow when they do it in the morning in LA, if it's a calf tear, that's no big deal. He's going to be fine. If it's an Achilles tear, I'm telling you, he's at the YMCA. He's done. I will not buy that stock. Are you going to buy him with a blown out ACL and a blown out Achilles? Now, look, he looked fantastic coming back from the ACL. It took a year, but he worked his ass off. And I think he's young enough to, you know, rehab, PT, and be a great player again. There's been a million guys that have blown out their knee and, you know, got it fixed and became very productive players again. I have no problem with that. Technology, medicine, doctors, orthopedic surgeons have the knee injuries changed dramatically from even 10 years ago, right? And it's more sophisticated now. And they can actually, it's almost like they make you the bionic man. They'll put you back out there better than you were. It's like Tommy John. They'll fix your elbow. You'll be stronger than you ever were. But I have a problem with, I actually don't believe they can do that with an Achilles. I have yet to see it, right? Have you seen anybody tear their Achilles and actually get better, Carver High, in sports? You tear that Achilles, you're like done. I mean,
there's very rare cases. I mean, there's some guys that are absolute freaks in nature. Like, didn't Nate Peterson do it for the Vikings, and he came back pretty strong after that? I mean, but he's a freak. I mean, there's a couple of small cases, but for the most part, you're right. When you get that injury, it is extremely hard to come back from that.
Yeah, so I don't put much stock in it. If that's the verdict, I'm telling you, that's bad news, Bears. It is not going to be good at all. That's going to be rather unpleasant. What a devastating injury. Like, I mean, you can't keep him off the court, right? Like, I know they don't want him playing ball. But what are they going to do? Put him in bed? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the guy came back from his knee. He's been practicing. He's been playing. He's been running. He's been balling. He's been scrimmaging. He's been doing his thing. You got to get back out there and play, right? So what happens? This guy goes out and plays in Los Angeles and blows out his Achilles? Are you kidding me? I pray to God it's his calf, because he said he felt it in his calf. I don't really understand that. Nick Richards, the center from Kentucky, goes to the Pelicans. First team all SEC last year. Big shot blocker from Kentucky that played for Calipari. Going to go play with Zion and company down on Bourbon Street. So my point is, when you tear your calf, I remember ripping my calf when I tore it, and I went down in a heap. I never, like, that's serious, the calf tear. It's no joke. Like, you're done. You can't walk, let alone run. So when it happens, you're on the floor. It's just an immediate, you're done. Like, you're just like, whoa, need help getting to the car when you're at the gym playing, right? So I did it, and it takes a month. I'll never forget. You know who blew out his calf playing with me? Was White Chocolate, your boy High Heat. Did you know, Carver Hyde, that High Heat was a great basketball player back in the day?
I did not know that.
So he played college basketball, and he was a high school schoolboy legend around here, and he played college basketball, and then he played in men's leagues and everything around New York City for years, and his nickname was White Chocolate. The guy could ball. High Heat was a baller, and he could flat out play. No questions asked. He can play. So one day he rolls up on Pharrell at the gym, and he's like, I'm going to play today. And I'm like, well, damn, let's go, High Heat. Let's go out there and get it on. So I put him on my team, and one thing leads to another. We start the game. 5 minutes into the game, the guy pulls up. He tore his calf. 5 minutes in, like, he didn't really stretch or anything. He just went out there and warmed up and shot a couple J's. And then he started playing. He ran down the court once or twice, and boom, it hit. And he tore his calf, and he was down in a heap. And I just remember he never played again. Never once did I ever see him on a basketball court again, ever. This was like 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. He came out to play with us one day, tore his calf, and that was the end of him. I knew another guy that I played with. How about this one? I know a guy that was a high school state champion. Guy could ball, flat out shooter, pure clean shooter. Won 2 state championships at Teaneck, right? And this kid came out to play with me one day. I used to train with him and shoot in the morning, right? And I knew his dad and whatever. Great coach, legendary coach in Jersey, in North Jersey. Won multiple state championships. He had just loaded teams with brothers at Teaneck. And this kid tore his calf playing with me one day. And he blamed me. The guy got up and threw a basketball at me. He blamed me. I'll never forget it. He blamed me that he tore his calf because he said, I tried to get him to ball. You know, I kept telling him, you got a ball, man. Let's go. Let's play. Let's go. Man, let's just put on the shoes and let's go. Let's just play. I go, because I play every day. And I'm like, let's go. Let's go ball. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. You're a wuss. You don't play anymore, bro. You're state champ. Come on. You got so much game and you're incredible. Why don't you just play with us one Saturday? It's 4-on-4. You'll love it. We play, you know, full court. You'll love it. And he came out and played, and like 5 minutes into the game, the guy tore his calf and he went down in a heap. And then he got up and threw the ball at me, and he's like, it's your fault. I'm like, what? He goes, you're the one that got me to play. Who blames some other dude for his injuries? All right, Pharrell on the bench. So here's where we're at. The Bucks with the 45th pick and 15th in the second round take the power forward Jordan Nwora from Louisville, Nigerian national player. He can score, flat out score for Mac at Louisville. And before him, Simonovic from Montenegro. Marko Simonovic goes to the Bulls with the 44th pick. Before that, Sacramento. Jamias Ramsey from Texas Tech, a point guard, goes to Sacramento. And I told you before that Nick Richards from Kentucky went to the Pelicans. And now at 46, the 16th pick in the second round, CJ Ellerbe from Washington State, a shooting guard, goes to the Blazers. We'll keep our eyes on the rest of the way. Celtics are up next. And we've been following the NBA draft all night. But Greg Bell is with us, hopefully, from the Tacoma Trib News, getting ready for the Seahawks this week. They've had some problems the last couple weeks with turnovers. Let's see if we can get Greg on the bench. Greg, can you hear me? Hello. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm well, Scott. How's everything?
Good to have you on, brother. I'm glad you're on. So we had some issues earlier yesterday, today with the hooks. So I'm glad I got you. Technical problems can be rather agitating. And then I start cussing and I start going Bob Knight, Calypso Bay on everybody. I don't cuss out my producers. I cuss out the actual phones. So I don't like.
Oh, I don't, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't, Carver High, I don't attack you ever, do I? I attack the equipment. I start cussing out never, phones. And
it's never my fault, no.
I don't blame any individual.
Yell back. That's a good target.
You know what I mean? I just start abusing verbally the phones and the phone company and the phone lines and the board and anything technical. I take all the abuse out on those people, which aren't people at all. So it's fantastic. So let me ask you, when you saw their problems the last couple of weeks, how do you define it for me? The turnovers, that's really what's killed them. I've said on the show, I still think the Seahawks are the team to beat in the West. I still think they're going to win that division. At this point, they'd have to fold, you know, the tent to not win the division the way they played the last couple of weeks. You don't expect that to continue, do you?
No, I don't, Scott. I can't. Here's what's going on with this team. They are wholly dependent. Most NFL teams are, but they're wholly dependent on their quarterback, Russell Wilson, having to be perfect or near perfect. When he's been perfect or near perfect, they've won six games, and he was the front runner for the NFL MVP. When he's turned it over 10 times in their three losses, that's why they're 6-3. Their defense gives them no room, no margin of error, and Wilson has to be nearly perfect to win with a defense that is on pace to giving up the most yards in the history of the NFL. That's really where it's at. When Wilson turns over, makes mistakes, forces passes like the end zone interception against the Rams in the first half, that's when they lose. And he doesn't turn over, they win.
Well, they have a huge game tomorrow night, obviously against Arizona in Seattle. And you remember the first game that – the bottom line was they should have won that game. They didn't. I picked Arizona in that game and got real lucky. They beat them in overtime down in the Valley. What do you remember most about that game that they let kind of slip through their fingers?
Well, I was there and watched Patrick Peterson shadow DK Metcalf all over the field. And Russell Wilson and Brian Schottenheimer, the play caller, decided to go away from Peterson and go to Tyler Lockett. 20 targets to Tyler Lockett, 15 catches, 200 yards, three touchdowns, a career night for Lockett. And if the Cardinals want to do Peterson on Metcalf tomorrow night, they're going to do that again. They'll throw it to Lockett. And they're happy with that matchup. Now, Ramsey of the Rams also shattered, not quite as much as Peterson, but also shattered Metcalf last week, and Metcalf only had two catches and four targets. I think the Seahawks are going to try to get Metcalf involved early, but they need a running game. And I know relentless cookers and the throwing game is still the best thing they have going, but they need to have a running game to keep defenses honest. Wilson's been knocked down 34 times the last two games. That's unsustainable, obviously. And now they've got at least Carlos Hyde back tomorrow and maybe Chris Carson. He's questionable. If they can even get Hyde back, which he'll be on the field, that'll make Arizona be more honest in their pass rush. They blitzed Wilson mercilessly in the fourth quarter in overtime of that first meeting because Hyde and Carson were out injured. And they haven't played since that game, and the Seahawks have lost 3 of 4. Their only win was over a decimated 49ers team that had a one-legged Jimmy Garoppolo. That's how important the run game is to pass protection, to Russell Wilson overall, and they're going to get at least their half of their run game with Carlos Hyde tomorrow. I think that's going to make a big difference in how this game goes compared to how it went in Arizona. But that still doesn't say anything about Seattle's defense. How are they going to get any kind of pressure on Kyler Murray? They played back conservatively, trying not to let Murray run by him in the first game, and Murray burned him. 360 yards, three touchdowns, 34 completions, 48 attempts, all season highs for him. They have to blitz him more tomorrow. But Seattle's problem when they blitz recently, yes, they've had 10 sacks for those two games, but their secondary is going to be missing its two top corners again tomorrow night. Shaquille Griffin's injured, Quentin Dunbar's out injured. So you're going to have third and fourth corners that are going to have to be a lot stickier in coverage than they've been behind the blitzes that Seattle's going to have to do.
When did they – all right, so you know, all these other injuries that you just mentioned, Griffin, Dunbar, before that, Adams had missed a few games and then came back. But now he's back, and, you know, I know he was talking about playing for the Jets, sent him into a rubber room and everything else. But when did the – was it when he was out initially that you started seeing cracks in the armor with their defense? Was it just when Adams was out that you started noticing that they had problems, or has the defense been terrible the whole season and we just didn't notice because – Russell Wilson was lighting it up at the time.
Terrible the whole season, and you didn't notice because Russell Wilson was lighting up the whole time, Scott. They gave up in the first two games of the season that Adams started. They gave up 19 plays of 20 yards or more in three games. Then after those three games, after Adams got hurt, they went and dropped off, didn't want to get beat over the top, played much more conservatively, didn't blitz as much. They were a 29% blitz team after that Arizona game. Adams comes back after missing all of October. They're back up to 50% blitzing, which is way above what Pete Carroll likes to do. But it's what Adams does best. So he's got 5.5 sacks, which is one off his career high.
I lost Greg there somehow, some way. I lost Greg. So there you go. We're going to try to get him back on the show. We lost him there for a second, and he was talking about the Seahawks' defensive problems. And now they, you know, have Adams back, and, you know, the bottom line is they're still not good. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't understand it. And this Arizona team means business. So, Greg, I lost you right in the middle of you explaining what was wrong with...
Yeah, I'm afraid you're abusing phones right now.
All right. So, where were we? You were talking about Adams, and he was out, and then he's back in now, but they still sink.
Yeah, they were dropped off and didn't want to get beat in big plays when Adams was out. You were a 29% blitz team while Adams was out. Now they're back up here to 50%, way more than Carroll wants to blitz, but it's because that's what Adams does best. He has 5.5 sacks in five games, one off his career high for an entire season that he got last year with the Jets. And they are blitzing more than they ever wanted to, but that's because that's what Adams is best at, and it's because their front four defensive linemen cannot get consistent pressure. They have to bring a fifth and a sixth guy. And when you have your third and fourth cornerbacks covering behind those blitzes, that's a problem. And that's what Josh Allen and Buffalo exploited. That's what Jared Goff and the Rams exploited last week. That's what Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and the Cardinals are licking their chops tomorrow.
Do you think, let's say, you know, Arizona beats them again? Do you think that's the beginning of the end for the Seahawks winning the NFC West if they lose to them again and they have this, you know, three-game malaise?
No, I don't, Scott, because the rest of the schedule is so favorable for Seattle. And it's part of the reason why tomorrow's game is so pivotal. If the Seahawks can win tomorrow, they'll be back in first place. And they only have one game the rest of the season with a team currently that winning record. They have three games against the NFC East still, which, as you know, is the NFL equivalent of a free win or a bye. And the Cardinals and the Rams have already played their NFC East games. And the Cardinals and Rams haven't played each other yet. They still have two games against each other to play. So the Seahawks, if they can come out of tomorrow night in first place, they're in the driver's seat. And even if they lose, they're only a game behind in the division with the easiest part of their schedule right in front of them. I mean, they play the Jets and Giants at home in consecutive weeks next month. That's a vacation in NFL terms.
Right.
So they are setting themselves up still for having a 12-4 season, even if they lose tomorrow night. But if they win tomorrow night, they are certainly in the driver's seat. That's how pivotal tomorrow's game is.
Wow, that's going to be huge. So, listen, I still think they finish off the division and get in, But respectfully, I got 90 seconds. Do you think that with this defense being as bad as it is, that they can overcome that with Russell Wilson in the playoffs? Or will that defense be the kiss of death?
Yeah, that's their Achilles heel. That's their fatal flaw, actually, Scott. They will not go to the Super Bowl with a defense like this. Unless Jamal Adams stays healthy, Carlos Dunlap makes a difference in the front four, and they start getting the quarterback pressure and coverage with it, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They may win a division, but having a home playoff game this year, as you know, won't mean like it has in the past. No home field advantage with the crowd noise and the crazy noise in Seattle. It's going to be an empty stadium. And unless you're the number one seed now, you're not going to get a bye either. Even the number two seed is going to have to play in the first round of the playoffs. This is a tough task for Seattle as constructed. They've whiffed on defensive draft picks recently. They let Jadeveon Clowney go without re-signing him. They missed on Everson Griffin on the free market, and they're paying the price for that with a pass rush that is almost college level. And then after all, that guys like Kyler Murray can light up. And let's face it, if they do make the playoffs, they're going to have to beat Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and they will not do that with the pass rush they have.
Wow. I'll tell you what. Have fun with that DeAndre Hopkins again tomorrow night, because Murray and Hopkins are lighting it up. I don't care about that Buffalo game. They're just good any way you slice it. You got your hands full. Greg, we'll catch up again real soon. We'll get you on Coast to Coast on the TV side, get you back on the bench, and talk more Seahawk football as we get down further into the season here. I got to run tonight, but thanks for coming on late with us and breaking down the game for tomorrow night. Enjoy the game, buddy.
You're welcome. Take care, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, my man. Greg Bell with the Tacoma Trib News with us on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Cassius Winston, the guard out of Michigan State, just went to the Thunder with the 53rd pick. And before that, Kenny Martin Jr. played at IMG down in Bradenton. Kenny Martin's kid went to the Sacramento Kings, which is like San Quentin. Let's bring in Morenci. Sports Rage is next on Sports Grid Radio overnights. What'd you think of the draft tonight, Morenci?
I'm just thinking Kenyon Martin Jr., that there's actually a junior. Remember how crazy he was at Cincinnati? He was a badass. Like really just over the top. I'm a big Cassius Winston fan. We got a little feedback here, guys. We got a
little reverb coming back. That's all right. Just keep going, yeah, man. We got all kinds of problems.
You hear it too, huh?
I'm going to plow through it. Right.
So,
well, I love Cassius.
I like Cassius Winston a lot, Scotty. Yeah, a great player for Michigan State.
Yeah, there's no doubt. What did you think? I know you're not at least I don't think. I know you're a Raptor guy, but the Knicks. What did you think of Obi Toppin getting to go to the Knicks and go home? The kid from Brooklyn. I loved his game at Dayton. I love the fact the Knicks finally got a player, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know what, Scotty? They need a guard. But I think they're going to address this still. I don't know if they're going to go after Van Fleet. But as you mentioned, Obi Toppin, local kid. He's a dunker. I have my concerns. Can he hit shots? You know, is he just lighting it up in college? But you talk about bringing excitement and lighting up the garden. That's what they need. R.J. Barrett's a good player, but he doesn't, like, bring people out of their seats. Obi Toppin can do that.
Yeah, I'm stoked about it. And they made a lot of moves, but none of them were necessary to get him at eight. I was surprised he was still there at eight. There was, you know, a lot of talk of Cleveland getting him at five. Bottom line is, all the rhetoric about trades, trading the number one, the number two, the number three, the number four, it was all BS. Have a great show, Morenci. I'll see you guys tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 East.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.